Ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, don't let me go astray. Show me the path to paradise. Show me the path to
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear listeners and viewers of Madani Channel, once again, Alhamdulillah, I say marhaba. Today's silsila, Alhamdulillah, which is the final destination. Before starting the discussion today, let us listen to a hadith that mentions the virtues of sending durood and salawat upon our master, Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Ubay bin Ka'b, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, humbly asked and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if I give up all my awrad and waza'if and devote all my time to reciting salawat upon you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our blessed Aqa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon hearing this, our Aqa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this will be sufficient to remove your worries and your sins will be forgiven. Subhanallah. Dear listeners and viewers of Madani Channel, whatever worries, whatever taklif, parshanis that you might be facing, here is a solution. The solution is to spend most of your time sending salawat and durood upon our master Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our blessed Aqa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the intention of a believer is better than his action. Therefore, inshallah, let us make some good intentions that inshallah azza wa jal, I will sit and watch till silsila from the beginning to the end. And I'll watch the silsila from the beginning to the end only and only for the pleasure of the Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Let us make the good intention that inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, whatever I learn today from today's silsila, I will convey its message to the others as well. And let us make the good intention that inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, whenever the name of the Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal is been mentioned, I will respond by saying, Azza wa Jal. And whenever the name of our Holy Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is been mentioned, I will reply by saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear listeners and viewers of Madani Channel, the name of the silsila is Final Destination. And today, the topic of discussion is preparation for death. Many of us do not understand the importance of preparing for death. At times, those that do understand the importance of preparing for death, many of us do not engage, many of us do not put effort into preparing for death. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by a gathering in which people were laughing. How many of us sit in such gatherings where people sit laughing, sit and laugh and make jokes? Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked past such a gathering. When our blessed Aqa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked past them, he said, also add to your gatherings that which destroys pleasures. Allahu Akbar. The Sahaba Ikram said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is that we should add in our gatherings that destroys pleasure? Our Blessed Akha said, remember death. It is also stated, and I want you, dear listeners and viewers of Mother in Channel, to ponder upon the above statement that I'm about to make. And this is a statement that was made by our Blessed Akha sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is stated that when our Blessed Akha sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would find people in unmindful state, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would hold on to the door and say three times, Ya Ahlal Islami, Atatkumul Mautata. Allahu Akbar. The listeners and viewers of Bani Channel, imagine our Blessed Akha sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seeing a gathering of people that are in unmindful state, and our Blessed Akha sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seeing them, he would hold on to the door and he would utter the following statement that, Ya Ahlal Islami, Atatkumul Mautata. That, oh Muslims, death has come to you. Whatever it was to bring, it brought with it. For the beloveds of Allah Azza wa Jal, it brought happiness and relief. And for those who will live in Jannat, it brought glad tidings of blissfulness. Listen well, there is an end for every person who makes an effort, and the end for every person who makes an effort is death. Someone goes ahead while someone follows. Allahu Akbar. Dear listeners and viewers of Madani Channel, you know, under the tafsir of the ayah of the Quran Majid, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alladhi khalaqa al-mawta wal-hayata liyabluwakum ayyukum ahsanu amala. He who created death and life so that it may determine whose actions among you is the best. The Mufassireen that have made commentary under this ayah, the likes of Sayyidina Hazrat Sadi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they have stated that the following verse means that from amongst you, who remembers death more often, and who from amongst you prepares more for it coming, and who fears it more? Allahu Akbar. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Majid, وَلَا تَنْسَى نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Meaning, do not forget your share from earth. Under the commentary of this ayah, the Mufassireen has stated that your share from earth, it is not the worldly possessions. Your share, your nasib, the portion from the earth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to in this Quranic ayah. This portion that Allah is referring to is your kafan. Allahu Akbar. Meaning, do not forget your kafan. Meaning, do not forget that one day you have to die. Do not forget that one day you have to go back into your qabr. Do not forget that one day, time will come whereby you are going to be in the state of Sakarat. A time will come whereby you are going to breathe your last breath. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear listeners and viewers of Madani Channel, the pious predecessors have mentioned that a person who remembers death frequently will be awarded three things. Number one is that he will be blessed with the divine guidance of repenting swiftly. And secondly is that he will have contentment in his heart. And thirdly is that he will find pleasure in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, they have also mentioned that the one who does not remember death, he will have three calamities. Number one is that he will delay in making tawbah. He will delay in making repentance to the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because you will feel that I am still young. I have time. The age is on my side. I will repent when I get older. He will have these false hopes, and this will delay him into making tawbah and repenting in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many of us that are young at times feel that, you know what, I will change when I reach my early 20s. And when a person reaches his early 20s, he then now, instead of repenting, instead of changing his life, he makes another excuse. He gives himself another hope. And he says to himself that, you know what, I will repent and change and transform my life when I get married. And then when he gets married, instead of transforming and changing himself, he has another long hope. Instead of making the tawbah and repenting, he once again says to himself that, I will change and transform myself. I will become a better person. I will repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when I get my first child. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him with the first child, he then has long hopes once again. Instead of repenting, he has one more long hope. And he says to himself that, I will make tawbah and repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when I reach my early 40s. When he reaches 40s, once again, instead of repenting and making tawbah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has one more long hope. And he says to himself that, I will repent when I reach my 50s. And when he reaches that age, he says, I will repent when I get my first grandchild. I will repent when I get my second grandchild. And this continues up until time whereby he is laying on the floor. And the only thing between himself is Sakarat. And at that point in time, it is too late for repentance. It is too late to change. It is too late to rectify yourself. So dear listeners in Viewers of Madani Channel, one of the calamities that a person who does not remember his death faces is that the person delays in making tawbah. He delays in repenting in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And secondly is that he is never content. He is never happy. Nothing ever brings any form or sort of happiness in his life. He compares his life to other people's lives. You know, the ulama ikram stated that when it comes to the matters of the dunya, look at those that have less than what you have. Then you will appreciate what you have. When it comes to the matters of the akhirah, look at those that are above you in ibadah and worship. So a person who does not remember his death, he will never be content. And the third quality and calamity of a person who does not remember his death is that he will be lazy in making his ibadah. He will be lazy to worship the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear listeners and viewers of Madani Channel, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who prepare and remember their death. And one of the greatest reminders of death is the final stages of illness. You know, if you truly want to think about death, make time to go and visit a person that is critically ill, a person that is facing the last stages of their illness, a person that is in the state of sakarat. Only by sitting in their company, it will help you remember your own death. It will help you prepare for your own death. And dear listeners and viewers of Madani Channel, in that final stages of life, what is the most important thing that any believer can achieve at that point in time? When a person is in sakarat, one of the greatest achievements that they can achieve is that for them to utter La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah as their last declaration before death. As our blessed Akha sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that, مَنْ كَانَ آخِرُ كَلَامِهِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ, meaning, the one whose last words are لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ will enter Jannah. Regarding the above mentioned hadith, the blessed Mufti Ahmed Yar Khan rahmatullahi alayhi has stated, though one recited the kalima throughout his life, he must recite the kalima at the time of death because he will be forgiven by its blessings. It has also become obvious that when a person's last hour arrives, the people present around him should recite the kalima tayyiba, do the zikrullah of Allah Azza wa Jal, and recite the Holy Quran so that he may also remember to recite the kalima. So at the last stages of illness, when a person is in sakarat, if a person is able to recite the kalima, this is the greatest achievement that any person can achieve. But in order for you to be able to utter this kalima at the last stages of your life, you have to live your life preparing for this moment. Meaning you have to live your life as a Muslim. Your daily routine should be a routine of a Muslim. Your day must start from Salatul Fajr. Your day must start with the remembrance and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your entire life must be guided by the principles and teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then at the time of death, it shall be easy for you to utter the kalima. My dear respected Muslim brothers, many of us do not understand the uniqueness and greatness of being a Muslim. In many Islamic communities, young Muslim daughters are running away with non-Muslims and getting married to non-Muslims. Why and why? Because as parents, we lack in the quality of teaching our children the importance of reciting the sweet kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and the power and uniqueness of reciting this kalima. A person was walking and he had a nice expensive shawl on his shoulders and he had cheap shoes on, and by mistake he walked into some mud, and when he walked into the mud he pulled his shoes out and he took the expensive shawl and he started cleaning his shoes. Those that were around were amazed, and they say to the men that, "Are you a fool? The scarf is much worse than the cheap shoes of yours." The man responded and said, "You know what? These shoes I bought with my own money, and the scarf I bought with my father's money." Meaning, the shoes, it is from the money that I worked hard for. It is from the money that I strive for. That is why I see value in it. In regardance of its cheap value, in my eyes it has value because I strive for it. I worked hard for it. I worked hard in order to obtain it. But this scarf, I did not work hard for it. I did not strive for it. I do not know the value of it. That is why I am treating it in this manner. So here there is a lesson for us as well, that as parents, we have to teach our children the importance and the value of being Muslims. We have to teach our children and show them the uniqueness of reciting this kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallam. And this kalima, for you to be able to recite it at the time of death, it is a lifetime preparation. You have to live your life like a Muslim. This kalima has to be on your tongue day and night for you to be able to utter it at the last stages of your life. So a Muslim's life, from the day you were born until the day you die, the entire journey is a journey of preparation. You have to prepare for your death. And for you to be among those who are able to utter this kalima at the time of death, you have to live your life like a good Muslim. I want to narrate a narration whereby it is stated that on one occasion, there was an Islamic brother. and his Islamic brother wanted to travel for Hajj. And for many years, he strived, worked hard, and saved money in order to travel on this journey. He wanted to travel for Umrah. He saved up a lot of money in order to fulfill this dream. And it is stated that 4 hours before his flight, he decided to have a nap. And after 4 hours, when people came to come and wake him up, they found that he had passed away. And instead of making preparation for his flight, they were now making preparation for his janaza salah. And after many years, when his sons went for Hajj, one of the sons stated that, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while I was performing my Hajj, I saw my father performing his Hajj with me. And when he returned, when he narrated this incident to the rest of his brothers, they were all amazed by this, whereby he had the full description of how his father looked, the clothes that his father was using and so forth. And they were all amazed. And when the people went and found out the biography of this person, they found that this person was an individual whereby each and every Thursday, he never used to miss any ijtima of Dawat Islami. And among his qualities was that whenever it was time for salah, no matter what he was doing, he would always leave everything aside and rush towards the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, he lived his life, his entire life was preparation for his death. So even after his physical demise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfilled his wish, whereby even after his demise, these children saw him performing Hajj in the blessed lands of Makkatul Mukarrama and Madinatul Munawwara. There is also a beautiful incident of Haji Muhammad Mushtaq Attari, who was the late Nigran of Markazi Majlis Ashura of Dawat Islami. It is stated that he had been ill for some time and passed away of the same illness. The Islamic brothers who were with him at his deathbed have said that at the night when the condition of Haji Mushtaq Attari rahmatullahi alayhi started to get worse, he rahmatullahi alayhi said, "Turn me towards the Qibla." Allahu Akbar. Now in that critical state, in that critical condition where his illness is so severe, even at that point in time, he requests to the people that were around him that, "Please, turn me towards the Qibla." As per his order, he was turned towards the Qibla. He, rahmatullahi alayhi, then closed his eyes and started reciting salawat and salam. He then recited kalima tayyiba. He, rahmatullahi alayhi, remained busy doing dhikr and recited salawat ala nabi for a long time in the same way. Then he recited the kalima tayyiba, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, loudly. While reciting kalima tayyiba loudly, he went through the pains of death, and after some time, he departed from this world. Allahu Akbar. Dear listeners and viewers of Madani Channel, Haji Mushtaq Attari, a member of this beautiful mahal of Dawat Islami, his entire life, those that lived around him, they said that his tongue was always engaged in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever it was time for salah, he would always rush towards the masjid, encourage others to go to the masjid. And at the time of death, when the time of sakarat came, he made the request from those that were around him, that, "Please turn me towards the Qibla." After he was turned towards the Qibla, He continued reciting salawat upon the Prophet ﷺ. He engaged in the dhikrullah and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his last words were, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah ﷺ. Why and why? Because that is the way, the manner in which he lived his life. He lived his entire life preparing for his death. He lived his entire life preparing for his mort. So when the time for mort came, he was able to utter this kalima, la ilaha illallah. Why and why? Because it was always on his tongue. At the time of his death, he was able to engage in the dhikrullah and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why and why? Because he lived his entire life remembering his creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are incidents and stories and narrations of people whom at the time of death, in state of reciting the kalima, at times they were using vulgar language. At times they were singing songs. Why and why? Because that is how they lived their lives. They lived their lives listening to music. They lived their lives engaging in haram. So at the time of death, that is what their tongues were used to. So at the time of death, their tongues could not utter the kalima. Their tongues could not recite the kalima. Therefore, dear listeners and readers of Madani Channel, let us be Muslims who spend their lives preparing for death. When it is time for salah, let us put the effort in going and offering our salah. Let us be Muslims who fulfill the requirements of the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At times, we take preparation for death very lightly. And at times, we do not prepare until time comes whereby it is our turn. Who gives guarantee that you will live until tomorrow? Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to always say that when the morning comes, do not even wait for the evening. For who gives guarantee that you shall see the evening? And when the evening comes, do not wait for the morning. For who gives guarantee if you are going to live until the morning? That is why you'll find that the companions of our Blessed Aqa Sallam and our Salafus Salihin, when they stood to offer Salah, if they performed Salatul Fajr, they would offer it as if it was their last Salah. When they offered Salatul Dhuhr, they would offer it and perform it as if it was their last Salah. Why and why? Because they gave no guarantees to themselves. They gave no long hopes to themselves. They were always remembering their death. A sha'ir that says that, اعمل لدنياك كأنك تعيش عبدا. That strive and work for this world as if you are going to live in this world forever. وعمل لآخرتك كأنك تموت غدا. And strive for your akhirah as if you are going to die tomorrow. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear listeners, and viewers of Madani Channel, if you are watching this silsila today, and you want to start making preparation for your death, then join this beautiful mahal of Dawat Islami, whereby alhamdulillah, there are thousands and thousands of people who are attached to this mahal, whereby there are stories and incidents whereby when the time of Sakarat came, when the time of death came to them, they were prepared. They uttered and recited their kalima in loud voices. And they followed, even at that critical time, at the time of illness and sickness, they followed the sunnahs of our Blessed Aqa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, if you want to be in the company of those who will remind you of your death, if you want to start preparation for death, then join this beautiful mahal of Dawat-e-Islami. Associate yourself with this beautiful mahal of Dawat-e-Islami. And also be part of the activities of Dawat-e-Islami. Why and why? Because in the activities of Dawat-e-Islami, you'll find that it will help you remember your death. It will also help you increase in ibadah. It will help you increase your worship to the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, alhamdulillah, in all the activities of Dawat-e-Islami, if you only take one aspect, for example, the aspect of weekly ijtima. If a person only attends the weekly ijtima, only by doing this act which is done once a week, you will find that there are so many blessings and rewards in this one act only. Whereby, if a person attends the ijtima, by virtue of blessings of ijtima, one has the honor and privilege of going to the masjid, subhanallah. Why? Because the ijtima takes place in the masjid. And the duration of time that you spend in the masjid, if you enter the masjid with the intention of the itikaf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you the rewards and thawab of making itikaf for as long as you are in the masjid, subhanallah. And by virtue of sigway attending the weekly ijtima of Dawat-e-Islami, you have the opportunity of meeting your Muslim brothers, subhanallah. You can promote that salam. Why and why? Because when you attend the ijtima, there are brothers that at times you might have never met before. And you have the opportunity of giving salam to them. You have the opportunity of obtaining the thawab of hugging and greeting and meeting. And also by the virtue of attending the ijtima of Dawat-e-Islami, you'll be able to seek knowledge of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because in the ijtima'at of Dawat-e-Islami, there are muballighin that are imparting Islamic knowledge. There are muballighin that are teaching the sunan and adab of a Muslim. And by you sitting for the ijtima'at of Dawat-e-Islami, you'll also benefit by obtaining knowledge of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, in the ijtima of Dawat-e-Islami, the du'as which are made in the weekly sunnah inspiring ijtima are answered. In addition, speeches are made about the blessed life and blessed companions and awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And above all, Amir al-Sunnah makes du'a in Medina for the person who attends the weekly ijtima' of Dawat-e-Islami. So dear listeners and viewers of Madan Chan, this is only one aspect of the activities of Dawat-e-Islami. Only attending the weekly ijtima' of Dawat-e-Islami, there are so many blessings and virtues and rewards that a Muslim can obtain. And that is why, alhamdulillah, you'll find that those that are attached to this beautiful mahal of Dawat-e-Islami, when time for death came to them, they were prepared for their death. When time for death came to them, they were ready for their maut. When time for maut, when at the time of Sakaran, you'll find that they recited their kalima in a loud voice. At times it is stated that some of the ashiq, the lovers of Dawat-e-Islami, it is stated that in Babul Madina in Karachi, in Faizan Sunnat, there is a beautiful narration of a youngster who was hit by a truck. And this youngster, it is stated that his body was cut into two halves. And when the people rushed to this young man, they found that his lips were moving. And when the people went closer to hear what he was uttering, what he was reciting, they found that this youngster was reciting, As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah. And the people rushed him to hospital. And when he went to the nearest hospital, the doctors were astonished. They were all amazed as to how is it possible that a person's body can be cut into two halves. And yet, the lips are still moving. And the statements that he's making are not ordinary statements, but rather sending salawat and durood upon al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The doctors from that hospital rushed him to the biggest and most major hospital. And when he was rushed to this hospital, the doctors at that particular hospital, they were also amazed. And when they took him into theater, When the doctors came out of theater, they came out smiling. And the people say to them that, "Oh doctors, why are you smiling?" Doctors replied and said that he has passed away. But there is an incident that we want to narrate to you all. And the incident is that while we were busy trying to operate on him, his tongue and lips were continuously moving. And he was reciting, "As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah." And just before he could pass away, he loudly recited, "La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam." And this is no fairy tale, but rather a true incident that recently happened in Karachi. A young star like you and I, who lived in our times, because many times when these incidents are mentioned, youngsters feel that, you know what, I cannot do that, I cannot be such and such. But the reality is that these are incidents and stories that are occurring in our times. These are incidents that are happening in our times. This man was a youngster like you and I. But this youngster lived his life and surrounded himself to this beautiful mahal of Dawat Islami. Those that knew this youngster state that every Thursday, this youngster used to attend the weekly ijtima'at of Dawat Islami. This youngster used to fill in his madani in Ahmad Khan. This youngster was involved in the daily activities of Dawat Islami. So meaning that he spent his youth preparing for his death. So, oh youngster that is sitting and watching the silsila today, how much of preparation are you making for your death? You know, many times when parents speak, they say, "I do not know what will happen to my children when I die." The reality is that that is an incorrect phrase. But rather, the question that you should be asking is, "I do not know what will happen to my children when they die. I do not know what will happen to me when I die." So, dear listeners and viewers of Madani Channel, it is time we started making preparation for our death. It is time we started preparing for our death. And in order to prepare for death, inshallah, bring yourself closer to this beautiful Madani Mahal of Dawat Islami. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
يا الله guide me all the way to your Jannah. يا الله don't let me go astray. Show me the path to paradise. Show me the path.